Judges chapter number 15 is where we'll be. And man, I just love this passage of scripture. And so we're going to read several verses. We'll start at 11, read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll just jump right in. I don't have any notes tonight, so it could be short, it could be long, I don't know. It could be good, it could be bad, but we'll find out. I bet you about 30 minutes we'll know a whole lot more, okay? And so you'll find out when I find out. The Bible says there in verse number 11, then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said, Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Now we'll pause there for just a second. Here's what's going on. Samson came home. I mean, something like straight out of Jerry Springer. I know some of y'all probably watched that. But either way, you know, he comes home to find his wife. And he gets home and his daddy-in-law had given his wife to another man. And he gets upset about it. So his ex-daddy-in-law says to him, hey, I've got another daughter. She's prettier than the one you married in the first place. Why don't you just take her? Well, it upset Samson. And so, literally, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is straight from the Bible right here, okay? And so Samson gets ticked off. So he goes and gets a bunch of foxes and ties fire in their tail. And he sends them through the field. And I would imagine that the corn was probably about like what it is right now as far as it's starting to dry out. And sent them through the field, just burn it all down. I mean, son, it was gone. One minute it's there, the next minute it's gone. And so Samson's mad, and the Bible says he's there. And this is where we pick up the story. He went to the rock of Edom, and then 3,000 men of his own people of Judah there, they came, and they said, what have you done? And they said, well, as they did unto me, so did I unto them. In verse number 12, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of thy Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into the hand of their into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off of his hands. And then the Bible says in verse number 15, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking, he had cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called the place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and he called on the Lord, and thou hast given this great deliverance into thy hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Listen to this in verse number 19. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again. Notice this, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name, therefore, however you want to say that name, you can say it on your own, that's fine, which is in Lehi unto this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You know, that is an amazing story, and how that God did a work in a man's life who wasn't where he should have been. Isn't that what we need tonight? To me, that's just like, that's why I love Samson so much, is because when I read the story of Samson, I'm like, hey, God still can do something with me. Hey, there's still hope. God had a big job that needed to be done, and he had a good servant that wasn't in the right place. He had a man that God had given him all the faculties, all the abilities, he had everything that he needed, and he just didn't have his heart in the right place. And he needed God to do something. And that's exactly what happened in this story, and that's where we're going to jump in tonight. Heavenly Father, we need you. And Lord, I don't pray that prayer reluctantly. Lord, I don't pray that prayer redundantly. God, I pray it with true meaning of heart. Lord, I need you tonight. God, I pray that you'd just show up and you'd work. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd do a work that only you can. That when we leave here tonight, it won't be about a preacher, it won't be about a sermon, it won't be about a person, it'll be about a Savior. It'll be about you, that you'll be lifted up. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In your name I pray. Amen. So here we pick up in this story that 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and came to Samson. And they said, what are you doing? Now, we're just going to go verse by verse and have just a little bit of Bible preaching tonight, okay, if that's all right. And I'm not going to try to wow you with an outline because usually mine don't work anyhow. So they came to where Samson was, where he was pouting and he was upset and he was angry at people and he wasn't right with God. I mean, would everybody agree that's where Samson was at? He was sitting there and he was not in a good place. And so it took 3,000 men to convince Samson that he needed to get right. I love how God cares so much about us. Hey, God went through enough. He cared enough about Samson that he gathered together 3,000 men to come up there. Now, it may have been because they were scared of him and they wanted more than just one. I don't know what it was, but I know this. Hey, God cared enough about him to put something in his way to cause him to know that he wasn't where he needed to be. And boy, I like that. I don't always like it at the time, but I love it whenever I am right and I know what God's done for me, that he put something in my way or somebody in my way to cause me to get into a place where I needed to be. Can I tell you today that had 3,000 men not come to that rock where he was sitting, there never would have been the story of Jawbone picked up and 1,000 men killed. There never would have been a great victory. That's why I would say to you that we ought to thank God. And listen, I love to get preached too. I know I preach a lot. Brother Jeremy preaches a lot. And very few times do we get to hear a lot of preaching in person. And I tell you, whenever I do, I love it. I love to soak it up because I need somebody just to get up in my way and get me from the place where I'm at into a new place and into a good place where God can do a work in my life. And right here, it took 3,000 men to come up to Samson where he was sitting and not so good of a place and say, hey, what are you doing? That's exactly what they said. What in the world have you done? While you're living your drama over here, there's the rest of us over here that are suffering. And we really need for you to get right with God because you're the person that God sent our way to be our deliverer. You ever thought about that? How many people are hurt? Because our life is hindered. You ever thought about that? How many people are on their way to hell because our life is hindered and spiritually speaking? Here's 3,000 men who are hurt because the man who's supposed to be their leader is not being their leader. And he's not right with God. Here we are on a Sunday night crowd. Hey, I would say the majority of you here because you want to be here tonight. Hey, maybe some of you younger ones, your dad and mom told you to be here. But Sunday night crowd is this. It's a great service because it's a lot of people who care about coming to church. And I'm glad for that. Hey, guess what? Samson was a Christian. Samson was one that had a calling of God upon his life. Samson was one that had a big mission before his life. But Samson was also the one that was hindering a whole lot of people because he wasn't right with God in his life. And I believe that's who we're speaking to tonight. I'm not saying, I don't know who's right with God and who's not. I don't know what's in your heart and what's not. Okay? That's between you and the Lord. I'm just trying to say this. Maybe the Lord just put me here to get in your way. I don't like it when people get in my way. When I'm walking through airports, I've been in airports a lot. The other day I got my flight canceled in Orlando and I sat in Orlando for like 7 hours waiting on the next flight. And so I'm walking around and I was really getting annoyed. I was already in the flesh because my flight was canceled. But then I was really getting in the flesh whenever I was walking through the airport and you'd be in big crowds and then there'd be this one person just be tootling along, you know. I'm like, dude, can't you see everybody here is in a hurry to get somewhere? Why don't you walk the same speed as everybody else? He's in my way. You know, sometimes people get annoyed when people get in their way, but sometimes it's just good to slow down and think about what you've done or think about what you haven't. So he's sitting here on this rock. Think about it in your mind. 3,000 men come to him and somebody was the spokesman. I don't know who it was. And they looked at Samson and they said, hey, bub, me and these other 2,999 men, we're here to tell you, you're not right. So we're going to take and bind you and carry you to the Philistines. Because your day's coming. You've done all this stuff. And it's time. And Samson, here's what I love. instead of getting angry at the 3,000 who came to him and said, "You're not right," here's what he said: "Just don't hurt me yourself." You know, that would be a good lesson to a lot of preachers these days. It's not our goal to hurt anybody. And I can make you that promise today. I did not come here with the intention, hey, I don't even say it. I don't even, you know, some preachers, man, I skinned them tonight, or I this, or I that, or whatever. I have no intention. I never saw anywhere where Jesus talked about skinning his sheep. I heard about him shepherding his sheep. So I can promise you, I didn't come in here with an intention for anybody to leave out of here wounded or hurt. So if you take it that way, I apologize already in advance. I have no intentions of hurting anybody. I can say this, I don't even know most of your names, but I love every single person in here. I want you to be a better Christian whenever I leave here. And I'm glad they went with the right spirit, but I'm glad it was received with the right spirit. You know what? Samson knew the whole time he was living down there with the Philistines that he wasn't right. He knew. And you know, every single one of you, you know what issue it is that you struggle with in your heart. You know what issue it is that you struggle with in your life the most, and it's that one that you many times get frustrated with. And many times it just takes maybe a different voice or another voice or somebody to just stand up before you and just say, "You're not right, and that area needs to be fixed." And you know what? Most Christians, if they have the right spirit, will just hang their head and hang their heart, if you will, and just say, "Yeah. Yeah." I believe that's what Samson did. Because guess what? Two things Samson could have done, and he does real well. Number one, he could have ran. You ever thought about that? I mean, this man, he had power like nobody else, physically speaking. He could have gotten away from him. If he wanted to run, he could run. But he couldn't have outran his lifestyle. And tonight, I just say, don't run from somebody who cares about you, has best intentions for you, and wants to tell you the truth. Because ultimately, you can run from me all you want to, and you can run from this man all you want to, and you can run from other people in the church all you want to, but you can't run from your lifestyle and where your heart is not right. You can't get away from it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But also, I'm glad that the Lord loves us enough that he left the 99 and came after me. Amen. So here, these 3,000 come up. You think about it. Samson says, "Just don't kill me yourself." And they said, "We'll do it." They bound him with two new cords. They brought him down to the Philistines. And somewhere, I don't know how it went. I don't know how long the journey was. I probably should have looked on a map to see how long it took them to walk from the top of the rock of Edom to the Philistines. Okay, I probably should have figured that out, but I didn't. But from there to here, Samson got right with God. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. I love it that God did not wait and put Samson well, you got to do these three things, and you got to be this faithful for this long, and you got to prove to me that you love me, and you've got to, you know, you got to be. From here to hear, he got right, and God got on him. That's what the Bible teaches. I mean, he had the ability, he had the hand of God or the anointing, he had the purpose that God put on his life, he had all of that. He just needed to get right, and from here to here, he got right. And when he got to that place where the Philistines were, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And I'm glad today that God just wants us back. Hey, listen, I know there is a repercussion that comes along with our sin, and there are things that will ultimately that will ultimately get us, even if we get right with God. There's also lasting repercussions that will come here on earth. Now, we're forgiven in the eyes of the God. He forgives them as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says he'll not always chide us. In other words, he doesn't continue on about a sin that we've gotten right. And that's the personality of God. But the reality of life is this, is that when you sin, you do pay. However, even though we see at the end, he did pay for some things dearly.
At this point in time, he was right. God was using him. We need to, I say this about teenagers, but I'll just say it about Christians in general. We talk about young people and we'll say, man, I mean, almost every area of their life is just surrendered. They're a great young person. And for some reason, in the back of our minds, we'll think, oh yeah, well, that's true. Nearly every area of their life is surrendered. You know, in our minds, we're okay with that. But God didn't die. Jesus didn't die for most all of us. He died for every bit of us. And revival is just getting 100% right. Like all the way. Like through and through. Hey, that's what happened to Samson. I believe from there to there, there was enough people and God put enough people in his way that he got serious with his sin and he came down off that mountain and he said, oh boy, what am I going to do? God, you're going to need to help me in this. And God didn't look at him and say, how have you lived the last few years and you expect me to help you? He said, hey, you're right with me now. You're my child. I'll take you back. And he said, look around and see what you can find. And I'll help you. And out of his greatest trouble came his greatest triumph. Listen, God's not done with you. As long as you're breathing air, God is not done with you. God wants to use you. God wants to take and do something great with your life. And I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. But you're the only one that's stopping him. So here it is. Let's get to the sermon. That was all introduction, okay? 25-minute introduction. 20-minute, whatever it was. So the Bible says that Samson, he's bound. He's delivered. And the Philistines start to shout. They're excited because finally this guy that burned all our food down, ripped the gates off our city, has drove us crazy. I mean, this guy, we finally got him. And Samson's looking around like, oh boy, chickens are coming home to roost. Lord, what are you going to do to help me? And he looks around and he finds the jawbone of an ass, the Bible says. The jawbone of a donkey. Here's what I think. I believe God chose that jawbone because God did not want any pride to come into Samson. You ever thought about that? You remember Eleazar and Adino, those guys with the sword and the spear. They go into battle. They could draw the sword and they could say, son, I've been practicing all my life for this. I'm good. But Samson could not pick up the jawbone of a dead donkey and say, I've prepared for this all my life with the jawbone of a dead animal. Didn't happen. There's no pride in that. It's only one person that gets the glory out of that. And Samson looks around and he just picked up what was available. You ever thought about that? You may not like the way that God delivers you, but God has a purpose. You best just pick it up. The jawbone was there. And Samson was probably thinking in his mind, I got to grab something quick. What am I going to do? Lord, you got to help me here. Hey, these ropes have already become a slack. Hey, I'm telling you, I got to do something. What am I going to do? I'm looking around. If it would have been me, I'd have seen that jawbone laying there and the Lord would have said, hey, pick it up. And I'd have looked at the Lord and said, are you serious? Like, how about a sword or how about a spear or how about a club? But really the bone of a dead animal. Are you serious, Lord? And you know, many times young people or Christians today, they struggle with picking up the salvation that the Lord has set in our path. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. But guess what? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts are. He knows what he's doing. Hey, I believe today in the sovereignty of God. Hey, and he knows what's coming up ahead around the corner. And he knows how to handle that problem. And he puts it there. The provision of God is there. And it's accessible. And it's available. But many times we don't want to do, as we talked about this morning, what the Word of God tells us to do. Here it is. He's standing before the Philistines. He picks up the jawbone. You ever thought about this? I wonder what the first one thought. Here's 1,000. There might have been more, but we know there's at least 1,000 Philistines there. And man, whenever he picked that thing up, I thought, I wonder what the first guy who's standing there with a shield and a spear and a sword, and Samson picks up the jawbone of a donkey, wonder what went through his mind. Probably the jawbone, not shortly after, but either way. You know, I mean, he's probably thinking, are you for real right now? And then I often wondered, like, you got to about 500. Let's say you're the 500th guy to go after Samson with his jawbone. Like, at some point, you got to be thinking, dude, I just saw 499 guys get killed by the bone of a dead animal. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to, but it took 1,000 people before they finally got it through their head. He's not going to lose. He's just not going to lose. And so he picks up the jawbone and goes to work. And here's where I want to get with the message, okay? Some of you ran buses today, knocked on doors yesterday. You fix security cameras, run sound systems. You do all these things. You picked it up and gone to work. Hey, I want to say to you, if nobody else does, which Brother Jeremy already did, but I'll just say to you, thank you. I know you weren't doing it for that, and I know you weren't doing it for me. But I want to just publicly say, thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for working. Thank you that may not have been what your grand dream was, is to go pick up kids on a bus or to work in children's church or whatever it is. And that may not have been your dream or your grand scheme of thought. But thank you that whenever there was a need that was there, you saw it, you picked it up, you went to work, and man, you made a difference. And by the way, every one of you that picked up somebody on a bus today, you made a difference in somebody's life. Right. Everybody that taught a Sunday school class, you made a difference in somebody's life. Everybody that sang on the platform, you made a difference in somebody's life. Everybody that stood out here and opened the doors as I walked in, and as everybody else walked in, and you shook your hand and had a smile on your face, and we're glad that I was here and glad that everybody else was here. You made a difference in somebody's life. That's where Samson was. And when he got done, he got real tired. Did you see that? That's what the Bible says. He cast the jawbone aside. And he was sore thirst. And he said, Lord, you've given this great victory. Now you're going to let me die of thirst. I believe that's where a lot of churches are sitting right now. I do. With all the COVID and all the just the craziness of the world and all the things going on. I just feel like God's faithful ones. I've just gotten a little tired. Now, I say it all the time at camp when the guys are like, hey, Brother Luke, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, we'll sleep later. You know, I live by that motto. We'll sleep later. When's later come? I don't know, but we'll sleep later. It'll be here one of these days when I die, I guess. We'll sleep later. Sometimes you get tired. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. And this man is standing here, and God's done a great work. He's tired. And so I started looking at it, and here's a couple thoughts that I had. I mean, these are just elementary thoughts. But the very thing that made him tired, the very instrument that wore him out, was the very thing that God used to supply his needs. You ever thought about that? That jawbone was the instrument that was in his hand that caused him to be tired until the point of death. There was no water around. There was no well available. And if there was, I don't know that he would have been able to make it there. He was just wore smooth out. And when he got wore out, the very thing that wore him out was the thing God used to lift him back up. Now you look in your Bible and you see there when it says that jawbone that he picked up. He put forth his hand and grabbed that jawbone. You notice that word right there at the very beginning of that where it says jawbone. I'm not looking at my Bible, so you'll have to look. But it's a three-letter word and says this, a new jawbone. Now listen, I'm not a Bible scholar. But when the Bible says a new jawbone, I'd never seen that before, and I thought, what's that mean? So Brother Jeremy, I looked it up. That's a good thing for preachers to do every once in a while, is do a little studying. So I looked it up, and that word literally means, in fact, I think if you have a margin right there in the center of your Bible, some of you maybe, it might even say it there, but it says wet or dripping wet. Okay? So I started looking at it. I'm like, all right, I don't know what that really is talking about. So I started beginning to study, and then here's what it meant, is it still had life in it. In other words, I'm a deer hunter. I love to hunt. We got a place where we always skin our deer, and we got a place we always drag the carcasses. And you can go down there, and I can find you a bone that's 3 or 4 years old, and I can throw it up against a rock, and it'll shatter into pieces. But I can find one that we killed last year and try to break it, it's still got life in it. Still got life in it. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, it's kind of gross because, in other words, it's just new enough that apparently all the skin had to have been rotten off. Or it's old enough, but it's just new enough that the bone is still to where if he hit somebody, it would sustain the blow and it would not break apart. By the way, God's provision does not break apart or come apart in the middle of the battle, but it'll sustain you all the way through to the end of the battle and after the battle. But as I was thinking about it, he picked up something that was dead and it sustained his life. And I got to thinking about it, and I just got to thinking about how the Word of God, it's amazing how you can find Jesus all throughout the Scripture. Because for every single one of us, hey, 2,000 years ago, there was a portion of death that was delivered, hey, on Calvary's hill, on Golgotha's hill, as they hung Jesus Christ there on Calvary. He died and was buried. Hey, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. But out of that portion of death came life that sustained me, that helped me. And here's the thought is this, is that portion of death that he picked up sustained him through the battle. But it was also that portion of death that he picked up later that sustained him after the battle, that encouraged him and revived him and helped him. And here's the truth tonight is this, is hey, if you've been knocking doors, praise God, and I'm thankful for it. If you've been running buses, praise God, and if you've been serving the Lord, you've been faithful to his house, I just want to praise the Lord for that. But I understand today that sometimes you just get a little bit tired. But I'll tell you this, the only way to get out of that is to go back and pick up what it was that came into your life the first time, that was living and that was real and that was alive, and it came from Calvary. Hey, and just like it came from Calvary to save me, it'll also be what comes from Calvary to sustain me tonight. And today we just got to get back to the old-fashioned cross of Jesus Christ and get back on our knees before him and thank him for the portion of death that brought life to me. And today I know that people are tired. I know that people are tired of how the world treats us. I know the world is tired of how the world is living. But I can tell you today, there's life-sustaining flow in the death that came from Calvary. But the problem is many of us, we're just not picking it up. The Bible says that water came out of the jaw. Some people say it came out of the ground from which the jaw was sitting on. I tend to believe it came out of the jaw itself. And he picked it up one more time, that portion of death. And he took himself a big old drink. And he said, hey, he did it again. He did it again. I didn't deserve it. I know how I was living just a few hours ago. I know what I am. He didn't have to do it. Boy, I'm sure glad he did. And you know what I love is the Bible says this. You read that last verse there. It's that he judged over Israel. He ruled them. He led them for 20 years. But notice that last line. In the day of who? The Philistines. He didn't live a life where he led people when King David was alive or when everybody else was doing right. There were those times in Israel and in Judah, but this was not one of them. They were living literally in the devil's world. That's what the Bible says right there. This was not the day of the Lord. You can find in the Bible where it says in the day of our Lord, or the year of our Lord, or this or that or whatever. This wasn't that. It's a wicked day. It was a vile day. And you can study in history and see how the Philistines lived and treated. There was nothing spiritual about anything that went on, and that's where the people of Judah were living. But yet Samson, when he got right, he got all right, and he got all in, and he picked up that portion of death. God did a miracle in his life, and he was able to live for 20 years. You say he messed up at the end. Yeah, but for 20 years, he lived in a wicked day. God used him. This is it. This is the truth, and I'm done. Yes, we live in a wicked day. No shocker there. I can come in here on a Sunday and stand up behind the pulpit and say, hey, this world's wicked, and there's not one person that's going to gasp in this room. Like, oh, preacher, that caught me off guard. I had no idea. I don't know where you've been living then. Of course we live in a wicked day. In the United States of America, and listen, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm not. I say, preacher, you're not showing it tonight. No, I'm being for real. I'm not one of those kind of people. I believe there's still hope for revival in America today, even how wicked it is. Hey, because if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, hey, turn. A lot of people like to leave that one out. They like to just go straight to the prayer. Turn from the wicked way. I believe as long as we're living, there's still hope. Long as he's living, there's still hope.
Amen.
He ain't going nowhere anytime soon. But let's be real. It's wicked out there. Let's be real. It's not easy to live like a Christian right now. Let's be real. It's not easy to raise a family in this world right now. It's not easy. But because Samson went to the ultimate source, even though he was tired, he felt worn down, and he was wondering in the back of his mind if it was worth it, I can promise you today, it is. It is. It's always worth it to do what's right. It always pays off. I can't tell you when, but it always pays off to do what's right in this wicked day. What it tells me is this, is there's hope for every single one of us to live the way God wants us to live, to be His kind of people. If we just pull up, if you will, to that portion of death that brought life into our life the first time and just get ourselves a drink. Allow the Spirit of God to fill us again and to use us again. Tonight, I don't know where you're at. You might be at the point where you say, I'm just not right and I need to get right. Can I encourage you to say, there ain't going to be anybody thinking any less of you if you get right. But I'll know this, that God will think a whole lot, well, not more of you because He can't think any more of you because He loves you. But He'll be a lot happier with you tonight. But then some of you just tired.
Some of you just need to come tonight. Just get on your knees before the Lord. Say, Lord, you've given this great victory. Seems like things are fading away real fast. Would you help me? Here's what I love. He will. We can stand in this wicked day. We can stand in this wicked day if we just get ourselves a drink and allow the Lord to revive us once again.